another treatment, this classic American theme, brought to you by Mr. Gary Crosby. Here's a happy tune
that'll bring you a smile all the while. When you croon it, you're really in style.
And the title is Sam's Song. It's catchy as can be,
with a sly little beat, and the melody sweet keeps you tapping your feet.
And the title is Sam's Song. Nothing on your mind
but the news of the day and the bills you must pay. Keep your hair turning gray, but you're still humming Sam's Song.
Are you all right?
Song.
How's your brace?
Why, it makes you grin, gets under your skin, as only a song can do.
Oh, the people that you meet.
Hello, Joe, what you know, and remind me to mow. Tell them business is slow, but I'm
whistling Sam's Song. Everyone you see
has a story to tell or a gimmick to sell, but agree that it's swell and it's really a grand song.
So forget your troubles and wear a smile. You'll find you'll never go wrong if you learn to croon like a lark in the park, who is making his mark, serenading the dark with a chorus of Sam's Song. If you learn to croon the happy tune, they call it Sam's Song.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2021, and today was Inauguration Day, and we have a new president now, Joe Biden. I just thought I'd mention that so you can see, oh, this one is actually recorded this week. Anyway, I thought I'd come on and just say why I played that song, the Sam's Song with Gary Crosby and Bing Crosby. I love that song. It's kind of an early, spoken word rap piece sort of on the thing. But I thought I'd play it in that. On Phil's show, they reference the song, and Phil sings his own kind of version of it a little bit with his daughter, at least his daughter on the show. So it's kind of a fun little bit, and it makes more sense if you've heard the original Sam's Song. It was a big hit for Bing and his son Gary. Tonight's episodes, first of all, on the Bing Crosby show, not the Bing Crosby show, on the Jack Benny show, the sound quality is really poor. It's the best I could find. I've searched around, but it does get better as you listen to it, and it's a worthwhile episode. It's a really good episode with Deborah Carr on it again, the second part of the two-part King Solomon's Mines. It also has Silvoni's on it, who's always funny when he's on an episode. We have Mel Blanc just doing a lot of great voice work. Just a solid episode all the way around. Then the Phil Harris show, like I said, is going to play a little bit with Sam's Song. And it'll be a fun episode as well. And then to round out the evening, we have jump back to 1946 and play the episode from 1946. And that's a great episode as well. So I think you're in for a good time, and thank you all for joining me. I have sent out podcast links to most everybody, I think anyway, but email me at buckbennyotr@gmail.com if you donated to the podcast and I haven't sent you the links. I'd be more than happy to do that. So without further ado, here is incredible Jack Benny, Phil Harris, and their whole gangs, to bring us three more great old-time radio shows. Enjoy.
Answer the phone.
Go answer it yourself. Can't you see I'm packing your overalls?
Okay. Hello? How do you do? This is the Take It and Go quiz program.
Quiz program?
Yes. Can you answer this question? Who discovered America?
Columbus. Christopher Columbus.
Right! And for answering that question correctly, you have won $15,000 in cash, a new 1951 Cadillac, an electric dishwasher, an 8-piece bedroom set, a cedar chest, your house painted inside and out, an 18-foot motorboat, a 16-carat diamond ring.
Henry, why did you hang up?
Look what time it is. I want to listen to Jack Benny.
chances they want to give you. Are you crazy?
You don't understand, Kelly. Today he's doing a second episode of King Solomon's Mine.
Oh, yeah, with Deborah Kerr.
That's gone.
Well, don't stand there arguing. Turn on the radio.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the star of our show, that intrepid guide of the jungles of dark Africa, Alan Quatermain.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Alan... Wait a minute. Don, why did you introduce me as Alan Quatermain?
Well, Jack, that's the character you play in King Solomon's Mines. Aren't you going to do the second episode tonight?
Yes, of course, but not right now. Everybody isn't here yet.
I'm here.
Oh. Well, Dennis, I'm so glad you are. Believe me, I don't know what I'd do without you.
My mother said you'd kill yourself.
Your mother. By the time she realized that I'm the star of this show.
Oh, I know you're the star of the show, and I want you to know I appreciate everything you did for me.
Well, thanks, dear.
You gave me the opportunity. You guided me and taught me everything I know.
Oh, Dennis, please.
Oh, no. I'm not the kind who forgets. You picked me up 12 years ago when I had nothing.
Oh, Dennis.
And now I have $38.
$38?
Which I saved for my own show.
Well, you could save on what I pay you, too, believe me. Now, Don.
Yes, Jack.
Will you please call my house and see if Rochester left yet?
Well, what about Mary and Deborah?
Rochester's driving them down. Yeah, I hope they get here soon.
Is it too windy in the back, Miss Livingston?
Not for me. How about you, Deborah?
I'm fine, thank you. You know, Mary, I'm excited about being on Jack's program again. It was fun last week.
Well, you were wonderful in it, Deborah. But tell me something. You made the picture King Solomon's Mines with Stuart Granger, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And on the radio, you did it with Jack.
That's right.
Well, tell me, Deborah, how would you compare Jack with Stuart Granger?
Well, Mary, I don't think comparisons are fair. After all, look at their ages. Stuart Granger is 32, and 7 years makes a lot of difference.
Seven years? Did Jack tell you he was 39?
No, 25.
Oh, no. If Jack gets any younger, CBS won't have to buy him. They can adopt him. Deborah, how did rehearsal go yesterday?
Oh, fine, Mary. Jack is wonderful to work with. But we have one love scene where we're supposed to kiss, and I asked him to cut it.
Why?
Well, with his glasses, when you get that close to him, you feel like you're window shopping.
I know. On a clear day, he can see Big Bear. The auto club calls him for snow reports.
But you know, Mary, Jack really isn't a bad actor. It's too bad he never won anything.
It's just as well. His head doesn't fit his hair now.
Oh, Mary, you're terribly amusing. I don't know what Jack would do without you.
My mother says he'd kill himself. But Jack means well. Rochester, be careful.
Yes, ma'am.
Mary, a fender just fell off.
Yeah, I wish Jack could get a new car. This thing is awful.
I think it rides quite smoothly, considering that the rear wheels are so much larger than the front one. By the way, what's that shotgun doing on the front seat?
This used to be a stagecoach.
Oh,
Mr. Benny still has a contract to carry the mail between Santa Monica and Malibu.
Rochester.
Neither flats nor blowouts nor dirty windshield shall stay this courier from his appointed rounds.
Rochester, stop being silly. There goes a hubcap. Rochester. We lost a fender, a hubcap, and a taillight.
I know.
Well, aren't you concerned about all those things falling off the car?
No, this is the molding season.
Rochester, please go a little faster. We're late already, and Jack must be worried about us.
This is awful. We got a program to do. I can't understand what's keeping the girls.
Well, maybe they went by my house to pick me up.
Oh, did you tell them to?
No.
Then why would they go to your house?
They're both nuts about me.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Dennis, how can you say such stupid, idiotic things? Both nuts about you. Mary thinks you're a silly kid, and Deborah doesn't even care.
That's Carr.
Now cut that out! Anyway, Dennis, since we can't start the sketch until Mary and Deborah get here, how about singing your song? Maybe that's them now. Come in. Well, I certainly didn't expect to see you, Mr.
Darnell Cheeks of Wong.
John. Yeah, what are you doing here?
I just dropped in to tell you the good news. I just got a job.
A job?
Yeah. I'm going to be an usher at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
An usher at Grauman's Chinese, eh? Well, good, good.
I sure was lucky to get it. There was a lot of people there before me. They must have been waiting a long time.
Well, how do you know?
I could see their footprints in the cement.
No, John, you... Well, never mind. Look. Anyway, I know you'll make a very good usher.
I hope so.
Yeah.
They offered me the same job at the Pantages Theater, but I turned it down.
Why?
They're showing Born Yesterday, and the smell of hospitals makes me sick.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Well, tell me, John, how did you get the job at the Chinese?
Well, I'll tell you how it happened anyway. I was walking down the street. I wasn't doing anything. Just walking down the street.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel like doing anything. Just walking down the street. All of a sudden, a fella comes up to me and says, "Hey, you." I say, "Who?" He said, "You." I see me. He says, "Yeah." Hey, can't you see I'm busy?
Busy?
I was counting the cracks in the sidewalk.
Well, mister, look, mister.
You better watch me. I think awful fast.
I'm sure. Well, good luck on your job, Mr. Zavoli. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Come on, Dennis. Come on, let's have your song. That was Tennessee Waltz, sung by Dennisy Day and accompanied by a 3-star Hennessy Orchestra. Hey, that was a pretty good ad-lib, wasn't it, Dennis?
Yeah, it even got a big laugh at rehearsal.
Dennis, you weren't supposed to tell. You know, sometimes you do...
Hey, Jack, we're here.
Oh, hello, Mary. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Jack. Dennis, you're here. We went by your house.
You see? Yeah!
All right. Now, girls, you got here just in time because we have to do our play. Now, Mary, in this episode, you're going to be a native princess. And Dennis...
Yes?
You're going to be Deborah's brother, the same as last week. Now, go ahead, Don. Introduce the play.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the Jack Benny Jungle Art Players bring you the second episode of that thrilling saga of darkest Africa, King Solomon's mind.
My name is Alan Quatermain. My business is leading safaris through the animal-infested jungle of the Congo. Last week, I had decided to give up the treacherous life of the jungle and go back to England. As I was packing a beautiful girl, I mean as I was packing a beautiful girl. As I was packing, a beautiful girl with flaming red hair came to my hut. Her name was Deborah Kerr.
That's Carr.
Kerr, Carr. They come in late and give orders. Deborah was looking for her uncle, who never returned from King Solomon's mine. I refused to make such a perilous trip. She knelt at my feet and begged. She pleaded and cried. But I resisted her for hours. She offered me her lips. I remained stubborn. She offered me her love. I still resisted. Then suddenly, I became putty in her hand. She offered me money. Eighteen days later, with our food and water nearly gone, we arrived at the village of Telawana. As we entered the clearing, the savage cannibal tribe turned on us.
Quatermain!
Courage, Deborah, courage!
Quatermain, don't let these cannibals torture me. Do something. Talk to them.
I will, Deborah. I will. Ogula Kanagu, Wagu Kanoya, Matula.
Umage Waga Lamoa Atuna Sanoko.
Quatermain, these cannibals are vicious. How are we going to get away?
Quiet, Deborah. I'll amuse them. I'll tell them a limerick. They love those.
It worked! It worked! It worked! They've gone.
Oh, that's wonderful. What was the limerick?
I can't tell you. It's dirty.
It really wasn't. But I like to drive the CBS censor nuts. The next day, Deborah, her brother, and I started out again on our search for King Solomon's mine.
Aganuamawa! Aganuamawa! Makua!
Why is your sister lagging behind?
Shall I go get her?
No, she's 10 feet away and you'd only get lost. You're always getting lost. I didn't see you all day yesterday.
Well, yesterday was Saturday. Well,
what about her?
I had to go back and do my own show.
I was glad he had returned because the map to King Solomon's mine was painted on the roof of his mouth. And I was the only one who knew which one of his heads it was in. Brother, you wait here. Deborah, you keep lagging behind. Here, let me help you.
Don't you touch me.
What?
I hate you, do you hear? Hate you. Hate you. Hate you.
But why? I'm trying to help you. Why do you hate me?
Because it happens in all pictures. I have to hate you first so I can fall in love with you later.
That didn't seem to make sense. When the horn blows at midnight, they loved me in the beginning, but hated me when it was over. I couldn't understand it.
What are you mumbling about?
Nothing, nothing.
Aganuamawa! Aganuamawa!
What's the matter, Quatermain? Why did the natives stop?
They can always sense danger. Careful, Deborah. There's a lion. Where's my shotgun?
I saw it on the front seat of your stagecoach.
But I brought it with me. Oh, here it is. I think I...
Ooh.
We were in trouble. The lion had a rifle, too.
We must get away.
Aganuamawa! Aganuamawa!
Late that night, we arrived at the village of San Zimbalist. As we entered the clearing, a native princess came to greet us.
Aga Mala Yakanoa.
Yakanoa? Are you a native princess?
Yes, me native princess.
But your skin is so light.
Me not real native. Me daughter of man once lost in jungle.
Oh, are you the daughter of Mr. Stanley?
No, Dr. Livingston, I presume.
Oh.
You come with me. I take you to Valley High.
Valley High?
At that moment, I was proud of my writers. They were now stealing from South Pacific. The princess not only befriended us, but her whole tribe showed us their hospitality. They realized we had been traveling for days and prepared a bath for each of us. As I sat there in the big tub relaxing, they even built a big fire under it to heat the water. But I became suspicious when I reached for the soap and found out it was a potato. This was a gravy situation. My writers were also stealing from Milton Berle. But I knew what to do to save them. I gave every member of the tribe a package of Lucky Strikes. You could tell they were delighted by the way they sang.
Akanuamoagoo, Lucky Strike is a song for you. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo-doo. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo. Akanua finds a back, round and firm and fully packed. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo-doo. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo. We're so very dig-a-digga when we're popping. We all say, oh, dig-a-dig-a-doo, there's nothing better than a lucky Minkawawazoo-ma-guff. Means that there is no rough puff. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo-doo. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo. Men who say that native cheapy is a dummy often end by filling up a savage tummy.
Get the bacon soda.
We eat man, and when we're through, we all smoke his lucky stew. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo-doo. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo. Be my wah, go on tea. Be my wah, go yum bong. Be my wah, go on tea. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo-doo. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo-doo. Dig-a-dig-a-doo, dig-a-doo-doo. Dig-a-dig-a-doo today.
When they finished singing, they went into the weirdest gyrations. We stood there spellbound, watching them do their native dance.
Woo-woo-wah, 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 woo-woo-wah.
Chugga-mugga-mugga with an elemane left. Mugga-mugga-chugga with an elemane right. With a sashay right and a sashay left. And a bunga-bunga-boom with a woo-woo-woo.
Gee.
That must be a tribe from Calabasas.
Yeah.
Princess, there's something I'd like to know.
What you like to know?
We've been watching your people dancing, and the one at the end of the line dances so much better than the others. Why is that?
Last week, him eat Arthur Murray. Oh.
For the next 2 weeks, we traveled onward.
Quiet,
on our...
Quiet, brother.
Thank you.
For the next 2 weeks, we traveled onward in our effort to reach King Solomon's mine. And the feeling between Deborah and I had grown to...
Uga mala nega.
Huh? Oh, yes. And the feeling between Deborah and me had grown... had grown to be more than friendship. We was in love. Each night we sat in the darkness of the jungle, anxious to show our feeling towards each other. But her brother kept coming between us. Twice I kissed him. During the day, there was work to be done.
Quatermain, what are you doing with that shovel? Where is my brother?
No, it isn't that. Tomorrow we start across the desert to King Solomon's mine. So I'm digging a Hudson trap to catch some food.
But that's just a hoe. Why do you call it a Hudson trap?
Ask your brother.
Brother, why do they call that hole in the ground a Hudson trap?
Because the animals have to step down to get into it.
I wouldn't touch that joke with a 10-foot pole. The next morning, we set out across the hot, blistering desert. For 12 days, the sun beat down on us unmercifully. Our tongues were getting parched.
Wait, Quatermain, wait. I can't go on. My throat is dry. I must rest. How far have we traveled in this terrible desert heat?
22 miles.
Only 22 miles in 12 days? Aren't we moving awfully slowly?
Oh, we'd have gone a lot slower if I hadn't lightened our load.
Lightened our load? What did you do?
I poured all the water out of our canteens.
My first impulse was to crush his skull. But I didn't want to wrinkle the map. And though we had no water, we still continued on our way.
Aganuamawa!
Wait. Wait, please, wait.
Makoa!
What's the matter?
I just can't go on. We'll never reach the mine. This is the end, Quarterbrain.
That's Quatermain.
Oh.
I begged her to continue. We had to find out what happened to her lost uncle. And 2 weeks later, tired, weary, dusty, and bedraggled, we arrived at King Solomon's Mine.
Gosh, Quatermain, look at all those diamonds lying around.
Yeah.
Stop kissing them and find my uncle.
Here comes somebody now.
What you do here?
We're looking for my uncle. His name is Sylvania Cartwright. Was he here?
Sylvania Cartwright? Yes, yes, he here, but he go away.
Away? When did he leave? Maybe we can still catch him. Tell me, when he left here, did he walk?
No, he went by car.
That's cur. Stupid native. Well, Deborah, we got to King Solomon's mines and your uncle is gone. So there's no use of us going any further.
I know, but what can we do now?
There's only one thing we can do. We'll finish it like all pictures. Kiss me.
What?
Come here, baby. What do you say now?
Aganuamawa.
Well, tell that to Seward Granger. I'm going home.
Jack, we'll be back in just a moment. First, let's visit our local movie theater.
Be happy, so lucky, be happy, so lucky strike, be happy, so lucky strike today.
My girl is quite a movie fan with Luckies. I will teach her that richer taste and mildness make a perfect double feature.
There's only standing room tonight, and that's a happy fact. The movie's like a Lucky Strike, so firm and fully packed.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Friends, are you happy with your cigarette? Here's why I ask. A recent 38-city survey shows that millions of smokers are not happy with the brand they're smoking. Now, if this is true of you, and you want complete smoking enjoyment, switch to Lucky Strike. You see, fine tobacco and only fine tobacco always gives you that happy blending of perfect mildness and rich, true taste. Everything you want in a cigarette. And everybody knows LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. So friends, really enjoy your cigarette. Be happy. Go lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Thank you, Deborah Carr, and good night, folks.
The part of John L. Cease, the audio is played by Frankie Fontaine. Be sure to hear Dennis Day and the Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the Emerson Andy Show, which follows immediately.
Transcribed from Hollywood, the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Anne Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Lately, Phil has realized that he isn't getting any younger, and he must make preparations for the security of his old age. As we look in now, we find him planning a steady income for his future.
Now look, baby Alice, you've heard the record 8 times, so let's try and do it the way they do it.
But, Daddy, I'm tired.
Now, never mind. Now, let's do it once more. Here we go. Here's a happy tune.
That'll bring you a smile on the wall when you croon it. You're really in style.
And the title is Sam's Song. It's as catchy as can be.
With a slight little beat and the melody sweet keeps you tapping your feet.
And the title is Sam's Song. With a lesson on your mind.
You put the day in the bills you must pay. Keep your head
turning. No, no. That's not the way that Bing and Gary do it. Look, kid, you'll never make a buck for me if you're going to sing that way. Why can't my kids have talent like Crosby so they can support me?
But, Daddy, I don't like to sing. Why should I be forced to sing just so I can support you?
What's good enough for your mother is good enough for you.
Alice, please. I'll thank you not to interrupt while I'm coaching my little moneymakers. Now, try it again, baby Alice.
Why waste time with her, Daddy? Let a kid in here that knows what she's doing. I've learned everything from you, Daddy.
Oh, so you think you can sing, huh?
Are you kidding? Happens to be my business. Now, wait a minute, Phyllis. Get lost, Myrtle. Stand back and give me a little room while I lay this one on him.
Well, okay, honey. Then we'll do Sam's Song together.
Please, Pop. I work alone. Get a load of this. Oh, come with me to Alabama. Come and see my dear old mammy. She's boiling eggs and frying hammy. And that's what I like about the South. Yeah.
Well, I don't have to worry about this one. Only 6 years old and already she's got talent. That kid will be making money before she reaches her obsolescence. Alice, I guarantee that little Phyllis is going to grow up being able to sing just like me.
Is that what you really want, dear? Now, Phil, leave the children alone. My girls don't have to sing for money.
Maybe yours don't, but mine do. Besides, if it's good enough for Bing's kids, it's good enough for yours.
But, Phil, we don't need the money.
Bing does. He's the only one I know of who has as much money as you do. The only difference is that you have it in the old bills.
You don't really want your children to support you, do you?
Certainly I want them to support me. Why not? Bing has his kids doing all the singing for him. He don't have to work. All he does is sit around all day squeezing Minute Maids to get orange juice.
Phil, I think it's fine for the girls to learn how to sing, but you're not the one to teach them. That's what I like about the South. It's not a song for girls or women or men.
All right.
Or dogs.
Wait a minute. Look, honey, that's no way to talk to one of RCA's biggest recording stars. Why, do you realize that my record of The Thing has sold 1,200,000 copies?
It sold 1,100,000 copies.
Don't tell me I made them.
Don't tell me I bought them.
You didn't buy that many.
I didn't, huh? Those aren't flapjacks piled up in the guest room.
That's a woman for you. She buys a lousy million records, and right away she makes a big thing out of it. Besides, I don't have to teach the girls that type of stuff. I'm capable of better things. I'll teach them them semi-classical stuff like Waterboy. Sweet Mystery of Life. Or One for the Road to Mandalay. Listen closely, kids, and watch how I do this. I love life, so I want to live. I want to live. I want to live.
With a voice like that, would you mind telling me why?
All right, Lindley. Now, where did you come from?
I heard the screaming, and I rushed in. I thought somebody was being attacked.
No, nobody's being attacked. I was just singing to my children.
Shame on you, Curly. Going around trying to puncture little kids' eardrums.
My voice wouldn't puncture anybody's eardrums. Anyway, the girls like to hear me sing. Don't you, Baby Alice?
Eh?
I should have known better than to ask the one with the tin air. All right, you can run along, girls. The lesson's over for today.
Hey, Curly, what's the idea of the singing lesson?
Well, I'm trying to prepare him for the future. And little Phyllis has a lot of talent, and I'm going to train her to be a professional singer.
Well, that's no career for a woman. There are so many more important jobs that a woman can hold today.
Like what?
Well, there's a crying need for girl jockeys in Tijuana.
All right, Lindley.
Or you can stretch her neck and make her the goose girl at Hollywood Park.
They're not racing there now.
For next year. It'll take a year to stretch her neck.
All right,
Lindley. Now, what's wrong with a woman being a professional singer? I've done all right.
Oh, yeah, but you're different, Alice. You can't teach a child to have a voice like yours. You were born with unusual talent.
True. But the girls do have good voices, and with a little training, they might amount to something. I think we ought to get them a good coach.
Coach, huh? Well, maybe you're right.
Well, we're rehearsing our show in a couple of hours, and I'd better get dressed.
Okay, honey, we'll meet you at NBC later, huh? You know something? Frankie Alice has got an idea.
Yeah?
Sure. I'd like to get a good coach for the kids. You know, somebody with a nice, soft, cultured voice that has resonance.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of a voice that sends you. A voice...
Hey, Curly, I know just the person. She's a woman, and if she can teach your kids to sound like her, you got nothing to worry about. Let's go see this girl.
All right, Remy. Wait a minute. This girl...
She's okay, Curly. I give you the word of a gentleman.
We'll bring him along, and I'll go. Now, look, I'll take one more chance, Remy. I'll go with you. Now, let's go. You know something?
What?
You know where it is, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going with you, Dad. And pretty soon my girls will be able to sing just like me. And then they'll have no trouble getting a job.
I don't know. There ain't much demand for female baritones.
Tallulah does all right. Baritones do okay if you don't believe me. Listen, Dad. A preacher went out walking, 'twas on one Sunday morn. It was against his religion, but he took his gun along. He shot himself some mighty fine quail and one little mealy hare. But on his way returning home, he met a great big grizzly bear. Now the bear got down in the middle of the road on all fours like a great big toad and looked that preacher right square in the eye. And the preacher looked at him and said, bye-bye. The preacher got up, took out the run. The bear right after that preacher did come, and he run for about a mile. And the preacher sat down and rested a while. The preacher got up, started again. little bear right after him with more vim. And he ran and he ran till he spotted a tree. Said, up on the limb is the place for me. Bear reached up, made a grab for him. Creature leaped and he bade the limb. Pulled himself up and turned about, cast his eyes to the skies, and he did shout, oh Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Also delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale. And then the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace of the good book do declare, yes, Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sake, don't help that bear. Now just about then that limb let go and the preacher come tumbling down. Reached in his pocket, pulled his razor out just before he hit the ground. He hit the ground with an awful bang, it was a terrible sight. That preacher and the bear with the razor in his hair just a-cutting left and right. They rolled around on the ground, the preacher was up and then he was down. The bear let out an awful moan and looked like the preacher was holding his own. Said, if I get out of here alive with that good book, I will abide. I'll never sin on Sabbath day and Sunday come, I'll pray and pray into the heavens. He did glance, said, Lord, just give me one more chance. Then his suspenders gave away, and he knocked that bear 10 feet away. Preacher got up, made a bound for the tree where he'd be safe and sound. Pulled himself up and turned about, cast his eyes to the skies, and he did shout, oh, Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Also delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale. And then the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace of the good book do declare, yes, Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sakes, don't help that bear. Why'd you bring me to this place? This is a nightclub. All I'm looking for is a voice coach.
She works here, Curly. Hey, well, you hear this girl's voice. It's sensational.
Well, what does she do here? Is she the star of the show?
No.
Well, does she sing with a band?
Not exactly. Every time I hear a voice that does something to me, I swoon with ecstasy.
Well, what does she do here?
Cigars. Cigarettes. Sardinia.
Bradley, will you get up off the floor? You mean to tell me that this cigarette girl is the voice coach?
Yeah. If your kids can pick up her voice inflections, they'll be sensational.
Oh, yeah. That's all I need is my two kids walking around the house saying, cigar. Cigarette. Gardenia. Remley, I don't think that's quite the kind of a coach Alice had in mind for the girls.
Oh, Curly, give her a chance. The poor kid needs a job.
She has a job.
But she don't make enough to be able to dress right. Look at that skimpy costume she has to wear. It only reaches from under her arms to just below her hips. She can't even afford a whole dress.
That's a whole dress. She just ain't in it far enough.
Now, Curly, at least talk to the girl. Let me call her over. I want you to get a load of her talent.
Don't bother. I can see it from here. Remley, I can't hire this girl. Will you come on now? Let's get down to rehearsal.
Well, you run along, Curly. I'll meet you there. I have a little business to attend to.
All right, but don't forget to show up.
Cigars, cigarettes, chewing tobacco.
If you're... chewing tobacco. I guess she ran out of gardenias. I'll see you later, Remley.
Yeah, okay, Curly. Curly's making a mistake not hiring that girl. We can't let all that talent go to waste. I guess it's up to me to do something for her. Oh, miss.
Yes, sir. Is there anything I can do for you?
Sit down, my child. There's nothing you can do for me, but I'm in a position to do things for you. How'd you like to be in pictures, honey?
I wouldn't.
You're fighting me. Being a producer, I can do things for you, dear.
You're a producer?
Surely you've heard of Cecil B. DeRemley.
Well, what pictures did you ever produce?
Did you see Born yesterday?
Yes.
Well, you're looking at a man who saw the same picture.
I told you, I don't want to be in pictures. But I like to sing. If you could get me a job with a band...
You come to the right man, honey. Consider yourself working. Do you ever hear of the Phil Harris Band?
You mean you can get me a job with Phil Harris?
That's a cinch. I happen to own the outfit. Harris just fronts it for me. I'll put it in writing. By the way, what's your name, honey?
Carmen Lombardo.
You're not one of Guy's brothers, are you?
No, I just happen to have the same name.
Yeah, well, here's the contract. It says, I hereby agree to pay Miss Carmen Lombardo $500 a week, 52 weeks, signed, Phil Harris. Now, about the date. I'll pick you up later as soon as I get back from band rehearsal.
Oh, I'll go with you, darling. It'll give me a chance to practice with the band.
Well, I don't know. You see...
Don't argue, Cecil. If you want a date tonight, I'm going to band rehearsal with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now look, Carmen, you better wait out in the hall, dear, while I go into Curly's dressing room and set things up for you.
Very well. But don't keep me waiting too long.
Yeah. Now that I signed her to a contract, I may have a little trouble getting her on the show. Of course, if I could talk Curly into letting Carmen take Alice's place, Yeah, it's worth a try.
Oh, there you are, Remy. Yeah. Where you been?
Oh, well, I was detained. Curly, I've been thinking. You're working Alice much too hard lately.
What do you mean?
Well, after all, she's the mother of two children, she's getting along in years, and she's entitled to retire.
Yeah, but she wants to work. She makes a lot of money.
So what? Seabiscuit was a big money maker, too. But after a while, they retired him and put him out to pasture, and he has nothing to do but eat grass.
Yeah, but I don't know if Alice would like to live in a pasture. Besides, grass gives her heartburn. Anyway, I could never get anybody to replace Alice on the show.
Yeah, it would be tough. But I'm sure you could find somebody if you looked around.
Looked around where?
Right in back of you.
Cigars, cigarettes, gardenias.
Remley, get that tobacco auctioneer out of here. Take Speedy Riggs back to Kentucky. Now get out of here chewing tobacco. Let's get out of here. I don't want...
Curly, that's no way to talk to the new vocalist that you just signed to a contract.
What do you mean I just signed? I don't even know that girl.
I'll introduce you, Curly. I want you to meet Carmen Lombardo.
I don't care what her... Carmen Lombardo? Egad, how you've changed. You're not the little coquette I used to know.
No, she's not that Carmen. Hey, she'll look great standing up in front of the band, Curly.
You want to put her in front of my musicians?
Yeah.
Are you kidding, Elliot? That's like dangling a sardine in front of a school of barracuda. Look, Carm. I'm sorry, honey, but we can't use you with this band.
Oh, but you've got to hire me. I quit my job. I have no money. I can't pay my room rent.
And my mother needs an operation.
Stop making fun.
fun of me. Mother does need an operation.
Oh, well, that's different. And in that case, we'll be glad to help.
Then you'll give me the job?
No, send your mother around and we'll operate on her. Oh, please, lady. Lady, please. Now stop it. You're breaking my heart. Don't cry. Don't do it. Hey, she cries pretty good, don't she? Most dames cry up high. She cries nice and low. I like that. Look, lady, will you please stop with the tears? Well, stop crying. I tell you, I can't. Carmen, you're getting my feet wet. Look, miss, look, you can have the job if you'll just stop bawling.
Oh, you great, big, wonderful man. Oh, you're so kind and thoughtful. I could just kiss you and kiss you and kiss you.
Carmen, you mustn't.
Emily, let this girl talk.
I'm ready to start to work right now. Shall we go in and rehearse my song?
Now, not so fast. You wait here in my dressing room, and I'll call you when I'm ready for you. Come on, Remley.
Don't try any tricks, boys. Remember, I have a contract.
I can't understand you for the life of me. The things you get me into. What are you trying to do? I don't want that dame around here. We got to get rid of her before Alice sees her.
We can't, Curly. Carmen has a contract, and she's liable to sue us for everything you got.
All right, all right. Now, let's get into the studio, and maybe we can talk Alice out of singing. I never heard...
Where have you been, Phil? I'm ready to rehearse my song again.
Oh, yeah, your song. Look, honey, you know, after thinking it over, I don't think you ought to sing. You know, I just found out that singing is not healthy. It causes baldness. That's right. Some of our best crooners haven't got a hair on their head.
Well, maybe so, but you're not talking me out of singing. I'm going up on the bandstand and do my song right now.
But, honey, I tell you...
Let her sing. I got an idea. After she's through singing, we'll make believe that we didn't hear a sound come out of her. Go ahead and sing, Alice. We'd love to hear you.
Why fight the feeling, the feeling, the fabulous feeling? Why fight the feeling? We're face to face with romance. Why miss the magic, the magic, the moment of magic? Why miss the magic? Relax, give it a chance. We're right on the very brink of kiss number one. There's no time to stop and think. It's too late to run, the beginning's begun. So why fight the feeling, the feeling that started us reeling? Why fight the feeling that says tonight is the night? Why fight the feeling when it's oh so right?
Why fight the feeling, the feeling, the fabulous feeling? Why fight the feeling? Relax and give it a chance.
We're right on the very brink of kiss number one. There's no time to stop and think. It's too late to run, the beginning has begun. So why fight the feeling, the feeling that started us reeling? Why fight the feeling that says tonight is the night? Why fight the feeling when it's all so right?
Well, how was that, fellas?
Hey, the band sounded great, didn't it, Frankie?
Yeah, but I thought Alice said she was going to sing.
I guess she changed her mind.
Now, what are you talking about? I just finished my song.
I didn't hear her sing a note.
Frankie, didn't you hear me sing?
I can't answer that.
Well, why not?
I can't even hear you talking. Frankie, Bolt. I should have my tongue cut out.
Why don't you have it done by the same guy that removed your brain?
All right, fellas, all right. Out with it. Why are you trying to keep me from singing? Are you trying to get rid of me, Phil?
Don't be silly, honey. Why should I want to get rid of you? Who could ever take your place?
Hey, Mr. Harris!
What?
Who's that dame you got stashed away in your dressing room?
Julius! Get on out of here, Julius!
Oh, now, wait a minute. Just a minute, Phil. Julius, what about this dame in Mr. Harris's dressing room? Who is she?
I don't know. As soon as I walked in, she looked at me and tried to sell me a gardenia.
A gardenia? Oh, Alice, that must be that little old flower lady that always comes around. She's 80 years old, dear.
If she's 80, she better put more clothes on before she gets pneumonia.
Well, I'm going to find out who's in there. Come on, boys. We'll see who's in that dressing room.
But, honey, I don't
think... Come on!
Cigars, cigarettes, gardenias.
What are you doing here?
I'm waiting for Mr. Harris.
All right, Phil, start talking. Who is she?
Well, I don't know. I never saw her before.
Oh, Phyllis. You know who I am.
It's Grandma. Why, Granny, when did you get in from Tennessee? Hey, Alice, I want you to meet my grandmother.
This is a grandmother?
Yes, it is.
Where does your grandfather hang out?
Phil, you never told me you had such a young, shapely grandmother.
Well, you know Grandpa. He gets a new model every year. You see, he doesn't have a car, and he...
All right, you can stop now. Miss, who are you?
I'm the new singer Mr. Harris hired to replace the old girl he had. Who are you?
I'm the old girl. And I've got news for you. I'm still with him.
But I have a contract with him.
I have a contract with him, too.
Mine is signed by Mr. Harris. Who signed yours?
A minister and two witnesses. Let's see you top that one.
I think she's got you, Speedy. Alice, I didn't sign no contract with her. Frankie did.
Well, if Frankie signed it, it's not valid. You might as well run along, miss.
I've never been so humiliated in all my life. And as for you, Mr. Remley, I never want to see you again. Goodbye.
But, darling,
There goes the only girl I ever loved. Vaughn Monroe.
Her name's Carmen Lombardo.
Well, I was close.
That's cool.
All right, let's go home. And you boys walk in front of me so I can keep my eye on you. Where did you find that girl?
Oh, she was a cigarette girl in the nightclub, and Frankie fell for her sultry voice.
Oh, Frankie did, huh? You wouldn't fall for a sultry voice, would you, Phil?
Of course not. Remley's a weakling. I don't know what's the matter with you, Frankie, being taken in by a dame just because she has...
Cigars, cigarettes, gardenias.
Pardon me, miss, you got a lot of talent. I can get you a job
singing... You can stop, Curly. It's only your wife.
Oh.
This program was produced in...
Stay tuned for Hedda Hopper's radio column, then Theater Guild on NBC.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show. I was asked, I got a friendly email that asked me to talk a little bit about the tobacco advertising that's on my podcast, and just whether we could do that or not because of the, you can't do it on television, you can't do it on radio, of course, have advertising for tobacco. What I'm going to talk about isn't fact, it's just what I think exists, how I think it works. So anyway, and I haven't had any complaints by anyone. Even these folks weren't complaining, they were just asking about it. Basically, I would have preferred if Jell-O was Jack's sponsor throughout his career. I love the Jell-O commercials, and I love Jell-O, so it all works good. I don't know about you, but I found after listening to his show for so long, I started eating more and more Jell-O. But at least I haven't started smoking Lucky's. That's a good thing. Anyway, the cigarette ads that are on certainly are 1950 episodes, and then on these 1946 episodes as well. Let's see. They very inappropriate, but certainly the ones in the show, Dumb of the Sportsman, are also very entertaining. So it's kind of tricky. Most folks would like to get the whole episode, including the ads, everything, and they just realize the ads are very outdated and so forth. And as far as I know, if we were to air them on the radio, I think you'd have to cut out those ads. I mean, I'm more than think. I'm pretty darn sure of it. On television, you definitely would have to cut out ads that are for tobacco products. But I believe being sent out as a podcast over the internet, there's a lot more latitude there. So, and it's not just in a public airwaves. I mean, you could be flipping your through the dial and all of a sudden hit this show be hearing a advertisement for cigarettes, which is not okay. On a podcast, you have to actually search out the podcast to find it. You don't flip through podcasts like you do on television or radio, so it's a little different. It's more of a destination that you're choosing. And I believe it's okay for us to leave those in there. If I had to edit them out, it would be a pain, and probably a pain to the point that I might not even air the episodes if I had to edit out all the smoking commercials, just sort of the way it is. But it was interesting timing for this question, because if you really want to hear something tremendously funny and offensive at the same time, what you need to do is you need to listen to Saturday's podcast that I had. It wasn't a podcast, it was just a regular airing, but the Jimmy Stewart Saturday. It was, I was airing the show, It Pays to Be Ignorant, that, which is a funny show. And Jimmy Stewart's on it, of course. And so that's why it's on Jimmy Stewart Saturday. And it just happened to be the next episode we hit chronologically. But they have their cigarette spokesperson for Philip Morris is Little Johnny. And Little Johnny is the one you've heard. I'm sure everybody's heard these words where he says, "Philip Morris," right? And then it's Little Johnny. And, you know, I wasn't surprised to hear that. But during the show, as they have folks come on and participate, you know, they will say that, give the man in the front row, because we answered this question or whatever, give the man in the front row a prize. And Johnny, Little Johnny, will go and say, "We'll give him 202 cigarettes. Here you go." And so you got this supposedly little boy delivering cigarettes, and not just a few cigarettes. Not like, "Here's 10 cigarettes," or "Here's a pack." It's "Here's 200 cigarettes for you." And it's multiple times in the show. And of course, Jimmy Stewart comes on, and I believe they give Jimmy Stewart like 200 cigarettes as he's leaving. So if you haven't listened to that, there's so many different reasons to listen to it. It's a great, you need to go back and you need to listen to that episode just because it's crazy. The advertising, the whole concept of the show is crazy. It's a spoof on the quiz shows that were like Information Please and the Quiz Kids that I played you a few episodes of in the past few months. And this is kind of the answer to those shows. It's kind of how stupid can you be? They ask them really obvious questions. And of course their panel, it just figures out comedic ways to never give the right answer. So it's just kind of a fun show. Anyway, back to the whole cigarette thing. It's interesting to listen to these, to just how insensitive or over the top these cigarette commercials were on these shows. I mean, the other one that stands out is the Bing Crosby show, where they were, you know, they talked about buying for gifts for all your friends cartons of cigarettes, and they had Bing Crosby's picture on them, supposedly, in a Santa Claus suit or whatever, and it's just crazy how inappropriate this is, and the way that they talk about giving cigarettes to your friends, even if they don't smoke, maybe this will get them into smoking, and it'll be a cool thing you're introducing them to or something. Just crazy, crazy ads. But as I said, I don't think there's any problem with me airing them as podcasts. I've never heard of anyone have a problem with podcasts, and certainly I wouldn't get new advertising from a cigarette company or anything like that, even if they were willing to sponsor a podcast, and I think that would be illegal for them to do that. But as for airing these vintage shows with the original advertising included, I don't think that's a huge problem from what I've ever heard. But a really interesting question. Thank you for that. And I hope you enjoy tonight's show of the Jack Benny Show. And you can listen to the advertising some more. This might be the show, I'm not sure. I haven't checked to see this. I'm doing this podcast without checking the show very well. This might be the one where they're announcing the winners for the I Can't Stand Jack Benny contest. And if they're not, or are, next week or so, I will be announcing our winners and reading their comments on the air. You may still get in for this contest. This is probably your last week to do it. So if you want to email me at buckbennyotr@gmail.com and you want to put down why I can't stand, I can't stand Buck Benny because, and say why you can't stand me, maybe it's because I do my because I have so many cigarette advertisements in my shows. Or you can also choose, a lot of people have asked if I could change it, so it could be, I love Buck Benny because, or I can really stand Buck Benny because, and have it be a positive thing. But, you know, you guys are getting in the spirit of it. The negative ones are a joke and stuff, and I love that, so positive, negative, I don't care. But get your entries in, and we will go from there. So enjoy this episode of The Jack Benny Show.
The Jack Benny Program.
At 47, 49, American.
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
LSMFT. LSMFT. LSMFT.
Yes, sir.
Sure thing.
That's right. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. So take a tip from a real tobacco expert. Mr. Charles L. Belvin, independent tobacco buyer of Durham, North Carolina, who said,
I've spent 13 years buying tobacco. The advantage I have over most smokers when it comes to selecting a cigarette is that I know tobacco so well. And at auction after auction, I have seen Lucky Strike buy quality tobacco. That's why I've smoked Lucky's myself for 12 years.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So for your own real deep-down smoking enjoyment, smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny rehearses his radio program on Saturday afternoons. So let's go back to yesterday and pick up Jack and Mary on their way to the studio. Rochester is driving.
Gee, Mary, it's a lovely day, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yes, sir. Give me California anytime. It's so nice and balmy.
Yeah.
And the air smells so good. You know, it's wonderful driving in weather like this.
Uh-huh. Jack, let's put the top down.
I wouldn't dare. I try that one. Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Why are you driving so slowly?
I'm behind a big beer truck.
Beer truck? Why don't you pass them?
There's a loose case on the back and the driver looks like the careless type.
Well, go on and pass them. There aren't very many big bumps on this street, anyway. By the way, Rochester, did you take my dirty clothes to the laundry this morning?
I sure did.
And did you tell them about the lipstick on the collars of my white shirts?
Yes, sir.
Lipstick on your shirts?
Mr. Benny puts it there himself to impress the girls at the laundry.
I do not. I got that at the Palladium. While I'm thinking about it, I hope you told the laundry about my two pairs of shorts they lost.
Uh-huh, they're gonna get those back to you. They put them in Barbara Stanwyck's bundle.
They sent my shorts to Barbara Stanwyck? How could they make a silly mistake like that?
I guess the ruffles fooled them.
Those aren't ruffles, they're pleats.
Pleats?
Yes, pleats.
Okay, horizontal pleats.
Stop being silly. And another thing, I hope you didn't forget to tell the laundry about my weak ankles.
I told them.
Weak ankles? What's that got to do with the laundry?
They put more starch in my socks. A little faster, Rochester. We'll be late for rehearsal. Say, Mary, when we rehearse our program today, I want you to...
Look, Jack, look. The Bells of St. Mary's is playing at the theater there. Oh, I sure want to see it.
Me too. I hear it's wonderful.
That's what everybody says. Jack, what picture do you think will win the Academy Award?
Well, it's hard to say. There were several outstanding pictures. Lost Weekend, The Bells of St. Mary's, Spellbound, The Horn Blows at Midnight. Then there's...
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. You don't think you got a chance to win the Academy Award for that picture, do you?
I don't see why not. You know, I should have won it for my sensational acting in To Be or Not to Be.
Well, why didn't you win?
That is the question!
Rochester. No kidding, Mary. I'll never forget that scene when I threw the cloak over my left shoulder and said, To be or not to be, that is the question.
Jack!
Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms...
Jack, we're driving. Sit down.
Oh.
Jack, the people on the sidewalk are applauding.
Oh, yeah. To be or not
to be. Jack!
Jealous?
I'm not jealous. I'm embarrassed.
I'm mortified.
You don't have to be. Anyway, that picture was one time I should have won the Academy Award.
Well, this year I think Ray Milland has a good chance to win it for his performance in Lost Weekend.
Well, Ray was good in that picture, but I thought the plot was awfully flimsy.
What are you talking about? It was a terrific plot. A fellow starts drinking and loses a whole weekend.
So what? Phil Harris has been doing that for 15 years. He thinks Monday comes right after Friday. Anyway, I'll bet I'll win the award when I make my next picture.
What's it going to be?
A biography, the story of my life. Right from the time I was a baby.
Did they have babies in those days?
No, Mary. They picked me off a mulberry bush. And don't be so smart. You know, they dramatized my life last Sunday on that program called Freedom of Opportunity.
I know. I heard it. Jack, is it true that when you were 15 years old, your father wanted you to be a concert violinist?
Yes, that's true, Mary. But inwardly, I was fighting against it. In fact, I didn't realize it until my first performance. There I was, out on that concert stage, playing the Mendelssohn Concerto in E minor. And right in the middle of the number, something came over me.
Tomato juice.
No, something besides that. But who knows, if I'd have stuck to the violin, I might have been another Heifetz or an Isaac Stern or a Joseph Zagetti. By the way, Mary, Zagetti is giving a concert tonight in my hometown, Waukegan. I wish I could be there.
If this wind keeps up, you've got a good chance.
Oh, it isn't so windy today.
I don't know. This is the first time I ever coasted uphill.
Well, reef in the sail. We're at NBC. Come on, Mary. Rochester, while we're rehearsing, take the car down to the corner filling station and have the oil change.
Okay, boss, but I don't think they'll do it the way you want it.
What does he want, Rochester?
He wants to trade the old oil in.
All right, have a change anyway, but take the old oil home.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Mary.
Jack, you must be kidding. You don't really take your old motor oil home.
Certainly, I can use it around the house.
Oh, I thought that salad dressing had a lot of carbon in it.
That was pepper. Here we are, Mary. I wonder what studio we're supposed to... Well, here comes Charlie McCarthy. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Doo, doo, doo.
Hello, Charlie.
Mary Livingston, why, you great big beautiful doll, you.
Now, Charlie, you behave yourself.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Benny, but when you're as short as I am, you get nylon happy.
Well, we'll see you later, Charlie. Come on, Mary. Come on.
Goodbye, Mr. Benny. Goodbye. Goodbye.
You know, Mary, it's amazing how he gets around without Bergen. Yeah, I wish I'd asked my producer what studio we're rehearsing in.
Jack.
What? Oh, it's Edgar Bergen.
Hello, Mary. Jack, have you seen Charlie?
Yes, he just went down the hall.
Thanks, you know, every time I turn my back, he runs away.
Say, Jack.
What?
It's amazing how he gets around without McCarthy.
Now, let's see. Maybe we're rehearsing here in Studio G. This might be it.
No, gentlemen. Now, let's try it once more.
This is it, Mary. Phil's rehearsing his gentleman.
Now, come on, fellas. Nice and smooth this time, with a little class to it. You know, lots of dignity. Okay, are you ready? A one, a two, a root, two, 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 to hit it.
Dignity.
Yes. Okay, boys, you can relax now.
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, Libby.
Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Phil.
How'd you like that number we just played, Jackson?
Pretty good, Phil. What's the name of it?
I don't know. Hey, Frankie, what was the name of that tune we just played?
I don't know. Hey, Yeti, what was that tune we just played?
That was Stardust.
It was Stardust, Jackson.
No. No, it wasn't, Phil. I know how Stardust goes.
Hey, fellas, Jackson says it wasn't Stardust.
Hey, maybe it was Chicory Chick, Chala Chala.
Nah, that's a new one. We ain't learned it yet.
All right, fellas, it really doesn't matter.
It does to us, Jackson. We're musicians.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Now, Phil, we've got to start rehearsing the script, so tell your boys to take a rest for a while.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, you can go.
Some musician.
Oh, look! Somebody bent my saxophone!
That's the way it's supposed to be! Amazing how much noise they can make in their bare feet. Now, is everybody here? Where's John Wilson?
Here I am, Jack.
And where's Larry?
Here I am, right behind Mr. Wilson.
Well, come around where I can see you. Now, kids, I've got a great thing to do on the program tomorrow.
What is it, Jack?
Well, I went to the movies last night and saw 20th Century Fox's picture, State Fair. And I enjoyed it so much that I've written a radio version of it. And believe me, it took some tricky writing. Now, Mary, in this play, you're going to be my wife. And guess what I'm going to be?
What?
Your husband.
Some tricky writing.
Well, Mary, nowadays it's nice to know who your husband's going to be. Look what happened with Pappy Boyington. Phil, you're going to be my neighbor, Zeke Martin.
Zeke?
Yes.
I hope I got a brother named Hyde.
Why?
Then we can play hide and seek. Oh, Harris, you're 6'1" and you're all mine.
I know, that's what gives me the courage to go on. Now, Larry, you're going to be my son, Cy.
Well, gee, Mr. Benny, I'm much too old to be your son.
Thanks, kid. Now, Don, you're going to play the part of Blue Boy, my prize-winning hog.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Jack. Wait a minute. I don't want to play the part of a hog. I won't have any lines.
Believe me, Don, you've got just the right lines. Now, remember, your name is Blue Boy, and you're going to win the blue ribbon.
Jack, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to play the part of a hog.
Don, you made your stomach, now lie on it. Now remember, kids, in this play, we go to the Pomona Fair. Phil, have your musicians come in and tell them to be quiet.
Okay. All right, fellas, come on in and be quiet.
That's better. Now, as the scene opens... Now, as our scene opens, we find Lem Peabody and his wife at home preparing for the fair. All right, let's rehearse it. Curtain. Music.
Reuben, I've been thinking what a strange world this would be if all the men folks were transported far beyond the...
Hey, Ma, what are you doing?
Fixing the mincemeat. You know, I'm aiming to win first prize at the fair this year. I'm the best cook in the county.
You sure are, Ma.
Look what happened last year when the judge tasted my cooking. I knew I was going to be the winner.
Yep. Too bad he dropped dead before he could announce it.
Never forget his last words as he lay there looking up at me.
What did he say, Ma?
He said, I've been judging pies for nigh on to 50 years, but this one's out of this world and I'm a-going with it.
Oh,
No other judge could make that statement. You know, Ma, I've been worried all week. I can't make up my mind which hog to take to the fair.
Why, Pa, I thought you decided to take Blue Boy.
I did, but you know my other hog, Esmeralda, is a lot smarter. Well, I guess I'll go down to the pen and look him over. See you later, Ma. Reuben, Reuben, I've been thinking what a strange world this would be if we had no Betty Grable or no L-S-M-F-T. Luckies, Luckies, I've been smoking. They're the bestest smoke I know. Surround, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. On the draw. That don't sound right, draw. I better try that again. Luckies, Luckies, I've been smoking the bestest smoke I ever saw. Hey, that's it, saw. I got it now, saw. Luckies, Luckies, I've been smoking the bestest smoke I ever saw. Surround, firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. No, saw doesn't seem to rhyme either there. Oh, well.
Hey, Lamb. Hello, Lammy.
Like Lamb of Lamb and Abner. Oh, hello, Zeke. You know, I was just going down to the pen to look over Esmeralda and Blue Boy. I don't know which one of my pigs to take to the fair.
Wouldn't you have more fun with your wife?
Why, Zeke, you've been reading Dr. Pierce's almanac again.
Well, Lem, I don't care which pig you take. I'll bet you $5 you don't win no prizes.
Okay, it's a bet. It's a bet, just a second. I'll get at my money. What's the matter, Zeke? Ain't you never seen a man's leg before? Now, come on down to the pen with me, Zeke, while I look him over.
Okay. Hey, Lem, here comes your son up the road with some of them there farmhands.
Yep, and they're always a-singing. Always a-singing. You ought to hear them around harvest time. Sit around a campfire and sing till it's time for bed. Never saw anything like it.
I'm starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever when it isn't even spring?
We keep wishing we were somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that we have never heard
from a girl
we've yet to meet.
I'm as busy as a spider spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing. But I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well be spring. It might as well.
You know, Zeke, that son of mine's got a good voice.
Sure has, Lib, sure has.
If he keeps it up, I'm going to take him to the big city, Azusa.
And don't forget Anaheim and Cucamonga.
When he's ready for it, when he's ready for it. Here they made some of the mayor of all three cities down there.
Who is it? You hear tell him?
But I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well be spring. It might as well be spring.
Well, Zeke, we're getting near the pig pens now.
Yep, and that reminds me. Have you been listening to that feller Jack Benny on the radio?
Nope, I'm always busy at that time.
Well, he's got a contest where he's giving away about $10,000. He's announcing the winners 2 weeks from tonight.
Darn fool, if you ask me. Well, here we are. Look at those pigs, Zeke. Aren't they humdingers? Look at Esmeralda.
Yeah. Look at that belly on Blue Boy.
Yep. Come here, Esmeralda. Esmeralda, come here. Doggone, she's a fine-looking sow.
I don't know. Blue Boy looks pretty good to me.
Yeah. Come here, Blue Boy.
Oink, 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 oink.
Look at him, Zeke. Weighs 2,800 pounds. Feel his ribs. Go ahead. Feel his ribs.
Okay.
Oink, 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 oink,
oink. He's so darn ticklish. Say, Zeke, how do you like this setup I got here in the barnyard?
Why, you're way behind the times, Lemmy, old boy. Now you take my cow barn for instance. Now I got it all modernized. I got telephone.
Telephone?
Yep. Now when a cow feels like she ought to be milked, she just takes the receiver off the hook and calls us at the house.
Calls you at the house? Well, how can a cow dial the... Oh, I see. Come on, Zeke. Let's go back to the house, see how Ma's getting along.
Huh? All right.
Come on. We'll just walk down there, see Ma.
It's a grand night for singing. The moon is flying high. And somewhere a bird who is bound, he'll be heard, is throwing his heart at the sky. It's a grand night for singing. The stars are bright above.
To the show, I think I'm falling in love. Falling, falling in love.
Hey, Ma. Ma, here's Zeke.
Hello, Zeke.
Hello, Mrs. Peabody. What you making?
Mincemeat. I'm taking it to the fair.
Mincemeat, huh?
Yep, and to give it just the right flavor, I put in some brandy.
Brandy?
Yep, 2 tablespoons full.
No, 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 Mrs. Peabody. You spoil the mincemeat.
Hey, Pa.
What?
Some tricky writing.
You said it, Ma.
Well, excuse me, boys. I'm going upstairs and put on my new gingham dress.
Okay, hurry up.
Quick, Lem, hand me that bottle of brandy.
Now, wait a minute, Zeke. The way I wrote this play, you hate the taste of brandy.
Well, hand me that bottle. I'm going to ad-lib.
Okay, Zeke, but look, you go ahead and pour it into the mincemeat.
I'll pour this bottle in, and then you pour another one in.
All right, but let's hurry before Ma gets back. There we are. Now, hide those empty bottles. I think I hear more coming.
Okay.
Well, Pa, I'm all ready to go to the fair. Let's get started.
I'm ready, too.
Before we go, maybe I better taste this mincemeat.
Now, wait a minute, Ma. Wait a minute. Let me taste it. You know how crazy I am about your mincemeat.
All right. Go ahead.
Better taste it again. Better taste it once more.
Well, Pa, how is it?
Too much mincemeat.
What? What'd you say?
I said too much mincemeat. I mean...
He means too much mincemeat.
That's what I said. Too much mince...
Better quit while you're ahead, Lem. Better quit, Lem.
Yeah. Well, come on. If we're all ready, let's go. Everybody, everything ready there, Shy?
Yes, Pa. Put Esmeralda on the wagon and Blue Boy, too.
That's good. One of them is bound to win a prize. Well, come on, boy. Come on, Si. Come on, Lim. Let's go.
Okay.
Giddy up, Dobbin. Giddy up. I bet this year's fair is going to be the best one yet. Come on, here we come.
It's a grand night for singing. The stars are bright above. The earth is a glowing new and wind is showing. I think I am falling in love.
Ladies and gentlemen, radio has been asked to inform the general public and employers about the assets of our veterans, not only as citizens, but as employees. There are many misconceptions about what the years of removal from civilian life did to our servicemen. The truth is that they've come home far better equipped for a good peacetime job than they were before. Their service training has given them many new skills, and every service job is related to a civilian occupation in some way. So here's a suggestion to employers for a New Year's resolution. Resolve to employ ex-servicemen in 1946. Thank you.
Remember, folks, the winners of the I Can't Stand Jack Benny contest will be announced 2 weeks from tonight, January 27th. On tonight's program, Edgar Bergen and Charlie MacArthur were impersonated by Ollie O'Toole. That darn fool, Jack Benny, will be back in a minute. But first, here is my good friend, F.E. Boone.
At 47, American.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts.
That's right.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. The finer, the lighter, the naturally milder Lucky Strike tobacco.
And this fine Lucky Strike tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you.
Why, sure. L-S-M-F-T.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
The famous tobacco auctioneers heard on tonight's program are Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
At 49, automatically 49, American.
And Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina.
And
this is Basil Rysdale speaking for Lucky Strike. L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And fine tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Okay, Phil, okay. Rehearsal is over. The band can go home.
All right, fellas, you can go home now.
Mary, pick me up, will you? Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.